The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Suns 18-3 after beating Golden State 104-96 in a potential Western Conference Finals matchup. But the victory did not come without a cause. Devin Booker injured his left hamstring in the second quarter and was ruled out. The other major story, Steph Curry had a rough night, finishing the game 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, while shooting 4 of 21 from the field. This was Steph's worst shooting night of his career when taking at least 20 shots. The Suns have reeled off 17 straight wins. Big Perk, you're up first. Should the Warriors fear the Suns?
That's what happened. That's what happened to the Warriors last night. Them dogs from the Phoenix Suns was on them. They was out last night. And look, here it is. Stephen A., you can fix your body language all you want, but I told you.
Oh,
you know what happened?
Me.
Yeah, I can see you. Yeah, I can see you. What happened was experience kicked in last night. Experience. And when I told people weeks ago when I was on First Take, I said, look, I'm not knocking the Warriors. They're playing beautiful basketball, but it's the experience. And a lot of idiots out there thought I was talking about the experience of Steph and the experience of Draymond and the experience of Iguodala. No, I was talking about the experience of Jordan Poole and all the other young guys. See, let me tell you what happened last night. The Phoenix Suns was the team that represented the Western Conference in the finals last year. The Phoenix Suns brought back everybody and added pieces from last year. The Phoenix Suns are battle tested, so they know how to get through those moments. I bet you the world thought when Devin Booker went out, they was like, oh, Golden State about to run away with this game. No, the hell they're not, because they have a guy like Mikal Bridges who's not afraid to get up in Steph Curry. Steph Curry didn't just miss shots, they made him miss. And when you look at what Monty Williams did yesterday, he did what we thought Steve Nash should have done when the Golden State Warriors played the Brooklyn Nets. He made the Golden State Warriors play his game. He said, you know what? If you go switch pick and rolls, I'm going to play inside out, and I'm going to punish you with DeAndre Ayton. I'm going to punish you and play JaVale McGee. We're going to play our game and beat you. So at the end of the day, this is why I just didn't crown the Warriors to win the championship, because I got too much respect for them dogs out there in Phoenix, or if you want to call them coyotes, those things Stephen A. scared of. We know about your experience that you had last year when you went out there and was trying to check into your hotel.
You know what? You didn't have to bring that up. That's a pretty low blow right there. I mean, that's supposed to be, I'm going to get you for that one, KP. I'm going to get you for that one. Because that's just wrong right there. And that damn Mike Wilbon, you left him out. I see how slick you are. You left out the Godfather, Mike Wilbon.
Y'all ran.
How he set me up with
y'all
them
ran.
Damn coyotes. Mike, yo, Swagoo, Mike Wilbon sent me to a damn hotel in Scottsdale. I'm looking for a hotel in Phoenix. Next thing I know, I go to Scottsdale. I land. I'm there going there in the middle of the damn night. They pulled me up to the hotel and said, your hotel room about 100 yards away. I'm like, I ain't walking there. Y'all gonna rob me? What the hell going on? What the hell? Oh, coyotes don't bother people. Please. I ain't gonna find out either. Hell no. Hell no. Okay? I'm
trying.
That's what Kate you talking about. And he left that out. And he didn't even bring up Mike Wilbon there. See, that's betrayal right there, KP. That's betrayal. But anyway, let me say this to y'all. Y'all can talk all of this all y'all want to. Mad love and respect to the Phoenix Suns. My coach of the year, Monty Williams. You look at CP3, the greatness. I just can't say enough about him. Mikal Bridges, the greatest two-point performance I've ever seen. I mean, this brother was all over the place doing everything, okay? Mad love for him. Devin Booker gets hurt. These brothers stepped up, and I'm a Cameron Johnson fan. You remember last year in the finals, KP, I kept raving about Cameron Johnson and what this brother brings to the table. You know, so I get it, and then Payne as well. I like him. I like him a lot. But last night was an aberration. Look, bro, you talk about they made Steph Curry miss. The fact of the matter is, Steph Curry missed shots we normally see him make. period. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't play defense. It doesn't mean they weren't in his face. It doesn't mean they weren't contested shots or anything like that. But it was a very un-Steph Curry-like performance. We know, and let me, by the way, let me not forget to give my man Crowder some love as well, because Crowder's a big-time contributor for them. Got mad love for him, too. In the end, though, I'm looking at Golden State, and I get what you're talking about their youth, but I'm going to remind y'all, Klay coming back. Wiseman coming back. And when I think about Jordan Poole and I see what he brings to the table, I like Toscano. I like him. I like what I'm seeing from the Golden State Warriors. Didn't like what I saw last night, but Steph just had a bad night, and it comes back down to that. And I think Friday we find out more about this particular matchup. Let's have this conversation next week after Friday night's performance. Matter of fact, KP, me and you, we could have this conversation on Twitter, or I'll show up on y'all podcast with Swag Goo to talk about this. That's
sure
Friday
can.
Night. We're
sure
Friday
can.
Night. Let's
you
see
sure
what happens
can.
Friday night.
You sure can. And here's the thing. This is what I'm trying to tell you, Stephen A. One, I don't know how Klay is going to look when he returns.
I agree with that.
Let's not forget, a torn ACL on one leg, a torn Achilles on another. And Klay is not only known for his shooting, but he's known for his defense.
Yeah.
And let me stop y'all with this Wiseman miss, okay? Last year, even when Wiseman played, he underachieved. And when we talk about a matchup between Wiseman and DeAndre Ayton, you better believe I'm betting my house that DeAndre Ayton is going to win that matchup. I watched DeAndre go against Jokic, and I told you that already. But I saw DeAndre Ayton go against Giannis, and things ain't happen right. But nothing happens right when you go against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And what I'm saying, Stephen A., is that I know Steph Curry missed some shots that he normally make, but you want to know what the Phoenix Suns did to Steph Curry? They wore him down. They didn't let him get nothing easy so that he could start getting into a rhythm. Their switches were on point. Their communication on the defense was on point. They had deflections. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This Suns team is for real, man.
The Suns team is for real because their roles are defined. It's just like we just started talking about with the Lakers, like defining roles. And when you look at Golden State, the only issue I came away from that game is when Steph is not there, who's next? Like, can this team sustain a potential bad shooting night from Steph Curry when you get to the playoffs? Because to me, the Suns got options of how they can play basketball based on what they showed last night. I'm with you, S.A. I think when Klay comes back, because here's the thing. I get what you're saying, KP, about Klay Thompson and the Achilles and the knee, the ACL. But, man, shooting is like machine. Like, it's mechanic. And I don't think it's going to take long for Klay to start knocking shots down. And we all know when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, if him and Steph are knocking shots down, it's very difficult to beat. You can keep growling.
It's a difference when you got them dogs
KP,
over there. With that
KP.
The Suns got. I'm trying
but we
to gotta, tell you, man.
But look, bro, let's not have a knee-jerk reaction to Steph going 4-12.
I think Kendrick Perkins being a little bit emotional right now.
The Suns lost Devin Booker.
But
the Suns lost Devin Booker.
That's why I say the issue that I run into with the Golden State Warriors is if Steph struggles.
Shooting
but if Steph struggles, it's very, very rare.
Fellas. Let's say this, because we got to close out this segment. Let me say this in all seriousness. Phoenix Suns ain't no joke, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
We know the Golden State Warriors ain't no joke. But you know what I really, really love about this? And Kendrick Perkins will co-sign on this, I'm sure. If either of them represent the West in the finals, the beautiful thing about it is that both teams play basketball the way it's supposed to be played.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They play defense. They ain't forget about defense. They reminded us that defense matters. Offensively, they play together.
Yep.
They're unselfish. They've got true leaders on their squad.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And obviously, exceptional coaching. All of this stuff where you know what, you got a superstar and they combine with another superstar.
Yeah.
And that's going to get it done. That took over the league for a decade. That ain't necessarily the case now. We know that Klay might not be the same. We're all, when we make these prognostications, we're assuming health, KP. We're assuming health. We all know if he ain't the same, ain't gonna happen. Wiseman ain't the same, ain't gonna happen. But all things being equal, all things being healthy, that's my prediction. But I love the direction that the NBA is in. Last night was a big night with the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns.
And we get to see it again Friday. Dub Suns, can't wait.
Let's see if they bark against Milwaukee and Giannis.
Scarier than when you tried to bark, Stephen.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Knicks' Julius Randle and Coach Tom Thibodeau walked off the Barclays Center night livid with the officiating during their 112-110 loss to the Nets. Randle had 24 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, but went to the line only twice the entire game. The Knicks star forward initially did not want to talk about the officiating until he was asked whether he was surprised he isn't getting the benefit of calls usually reserved for a team star.
I don't know what they're watching or what they're saying, but you got to ask them. But like you said, as aggressive as I played, attacking the paint, you know, I can't be penalized for just being stronger than people. And that's an answer that I got today.
I want to watch the film, but something's not right. Like, I don't, you know, I'm watching what's going on both ways. And, you know, hey, look, they're a good team. They played well. But I know Julius is driving that ball pretty darn hard. And I'm pissed.
Stephen A., we're Knicks robbed last night.
They were not robbed. There isn't a game that you can't find where referees have not made bad calls. Kendrick Perkins, if we had a segment after referees made bad calls, we would have an NBA segment every day on officiating. They're not perfect. Human errors are part of the game. Part of being a great player is not just handling, dribbling, shooting the basketball, passing, defending. Part of being a great player is being able to adjust, knowing who the officiating crew are going to be, how they call a game, and adapting to those circumstances when you're going out there to perform, particularly when you're going up against greatness like a Kevin Durant or James Harden. Julius Randle. And I started off the show pretty pissed off. And I still am, but I'm going to try to be as calm as I possibly can. I can't wait to go to that game. I'm going to go to that game Thursday night against the Chicago Bulls. I want to see them in person again. We value Julius Randle as a lifelong Knicks fan. I respect him. He did a great, great job last year until the playoffs. He's doing a damn good job this year. He's only averaging 19 points, 19 and 10. Shoot 41% from the field, 32% from three-point range. He gets to the free throw line 5 times. Tom Thibodeau, like, I don't know what's going on because he needs to get in the line more. Well, Julius Randle is backing people down and shooting fall-away jump shots. Now, if you remember KP, correct me if I'm wrong, and put KP up on the split screens, please, so I can see him when I'm talking to him. You remember, KP, we'd watch Julius Randle in L.A. We'd watch him in New Orleans before he came to the New York Knicks. Yes, they were screaming, he's going left, he's going left, he's going left. But he was a powerful brother coming out of Kentucky. He was a man amongst boys, and he would manhandle you. Well, the good news is that he developed a three-point shot. The good news is that he's improved his perimeter shot. The bad news is that he leans on it a little bit too much. And so I'm looking at it last night, and I'm like, there was a point. The New York Knicks down 18. They look like they're about to get blown out of the building, blah, blah, blah. Here they come roaring back, making me proud. And Julius Randle was helping along that way. And then Kevin Durant said, you know who I am? You know who I am? Give me the damn ball and let me remind you who the hell I am. Crossed him over, yow, and started hitting jumpers all over the place, just doing what he does with his beautiful mama, Mama Durant. in attendance. Love you dearly. You know that. All I'm saying to you is that happens. Mm-hmm. And you get a technical foul in the midst of that run. That's on you, Julius. I'm not saying the referee was right. I'm not saying Tom Thibodeau is wrong, because he's not wrong. I'm saying when you're the Knicks, know who you are and know who you are not and know what it takes to overcome the obstacles that are inevitably going to come your way because you're trying to ascend and they saying, no, you ain't there yet. You got to take it. You can't be crying about no excuses about the referee after a damn game. That's my point. Floor is yours, KP.
And look, Stephen, you know how much I love Tom Thibodeau. We won the championship together. That's my guy.
Yeah.
You know how much I love Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Former Texas native. That's my guy. I love what he do. I love him.
Proud.
Like, everything about it. But they cannot do this. And you know who robbed them yesterday?
Damn.
James Harden, Kevin Durant, Mitchell Robinson, Tom Thibodeau, and Julius Randle. So this is why I say this, okay? Julius Randle, I love how he tried to take that matchup personal with Kevin Durant, but it ain't happening. And I thought in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, when KD had it going, I blame Tibbs for not going trap KD early and getting the ball out of his hands to make somebody else beat him. That's one thing. The other thing, Doc Rivers and Tibbs used to both tell me this when I was with the Celtics. He used to tell our team, don't leave the game in the officials' hands. Don't leave it in the hands for them to determine the outcome of the game. And who they really should be mad at is Mitchell Robinson. And I'm not I don't want to just blame him because of that one play at the end, but I got to point it out. It was a foul. You are 7'1". You do have a 40-inch vertical. You should have went, it's verticality. Why are you swiping down? It was a foul. And my thing is to this, Julius Randle, his next step to his game, and I will say this, he has gotten better at it, but when he's driving to the paint, it's two people that's collapsing on him, two or three people. He has to be able and willing every single time to trust his teammates and drive and kick. That's the next level that he has to get to.
Yeah.
I thought he wanted to
and
go back
and use his right hand, KP.
Yeah, he got to use his right hand. But I thought he took it too personal and wanted to match bucket for bucket with one of the greatest scorers to ever play the game of basketball. Yeah. It's not happening.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there and go coast to coast here. Let's go out to L.A. LeBron James has entered the league's health and safety protocols. He did not play in the Lakers' 117-92 win over the Kings on Tuesday night. It is expected that James will miss several games. That according to Woj. Now, keep in mind, LeBron had already missed 11 games this season with an ab injury, the team going 4-7 during that stretch. The Lakers are currently eighth in the West at 12-11. Kendrick, is it panic time for LeBron and the Lakers?
No, it's not. It's not, Molly. I feel like that win that they had last night, being down double figures to the Kings, and I know it's the Kings, but they were still down. And Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, they did what they did, but other guys stepped up. But I will say this. I was arguing with Stephen A. and Swaggoo earlier, debating with him about Frank Vogel. The one thing I have been disappointed in Frank Vogel about is that he hasn't used Dwight Howard enough. And if Anthony Davis is not committed to playing the five, don't start DeAndre Jordan. Please, just stop doing that. Start Dwight Howard and move AD back to the four and figure things out. Because Dwight Howard was a huge reason why they won that game last night. Coming in, getting 12 points, 13 rebounds in 35 minutes, anchoring that defense with three or four blocks. So my thing is to Frank Vogel is stop with the DeAndre Jordan. More Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis know how to play together. They won a championship together. They anchor the defense together. That's what the Lakers lack in. So stop trying to force. I was with it at first, Stephen A. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I was with it at first when I said that AD needed to play the five. But now I'm starting to realize he's not embracing it on a consistent basis. So don't force it.
Well, you made a mistake asking me to look at you, because in looking at you, I recall telling you AD at the five wasn't the answer. And I said, because I didn't think he would embrace it for exactly that reason. I ain't question his ability, because AD to me can do whatever he wants on the front line because he's that gifted. But what he wants to do was not that. And I let me say this, because it's important for me to acknowledge this. I had a vote, and I did not have Dwight Howard in my top 75. I have him in my top 100, but not my top 75. Only because of the things that have happened over the last few years. I think that if that trend had continued from his days in Orlando and to a lesser degree in Houston, I would have felt differently. But I still know how formidable he was as a former Defensive Player of the Year, shot block extraordinaire. But I got to tell you something right now. I want to stand on this, and I'll tell you this honestly, KP. I have to think more about Dwight Howard. He is completely underappreciated. He is completely underappreciated.
I'm telling you.
This brother defends. He blocks shots. He changes shots.
Preach.
He's an enforcer. And I think people look at Dwight Howard and they see this smile on his face, or they might question some of the things that happened in the past, right? And they use it as an excuse to malign him. I actually think he's one of the good guys in the game. But more importantly, not offensively, because I never felt that his offensive repertoire was big time. But I think that he could do enough offensively. And defensively, the brother to me was elite and at this point is still incredibly formidable. And I can't believe that a guy with the defensive mind that Frank Vogel has doesn't see that Dwight Howard is a significant plus who should be in the lineup starting and playing significantly more minutes than they are giving him.
Molly, Stephen A., I'm going to say this. When we talk about that top 75 list, one could argue if you was to match Dwight Howard's career alongside Anthony Davis, one could argue that Dwight Howard should have been in there before AD. And I'm just being brutally honest.
You know what I have to say, Molly?
Yep.
KP just gave profound food for thought, because Dwight Howard was that elite defensively. Never had Anthony Davis's offensive skills, but was elite defensively.
Yeah.
And on top of it all, they won the title together. They both. Dwight was coming off the bench for that championship Lakers team two years ago.
Yep. No, for sure.
Molly, I know it's the last segment.
I'm with you on that.
I know it's the last segment, but them Phoenix Suns, boy. Oh, them dogs.
My goodness.
Them dogs.
We'll see
Want
you
me to get them?
On NBA Today later. Say hi to Malika and Chinee for me, Perk. We'll talk to you soon. Right. Always good having you. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Music, that's what Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool wants when asked about what could be done to help improve Steelers practice. Chase Claypool suggested playing music, saying, quote, "We have music in the warm-ups, and that's so fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think it may be music in practice would make it a little more fun, a little more up-tempo. The Steelers are coming off an embarrassing 40-10 loss to Cincinnati.
Claypool suggested yesterday that he would like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting you're not going to oblige his request.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
Stephen A., resident Steelers fan. Do the Steelers have bigger things to worry about other than music?
Well, I think everybody knows the answer to that question. I could laugh about it or whatever, but let's be serious. The Steelers just got drubbed 41-10 by the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw a guy, Joe Mixon, on the football field dancing, engaging in all types of histrionics, completely humiliating a divisional nemesis that spans decades. The Steelers have the 27th-ranked offense in points and yards, the 15th-ranked passing attack. We've got a guy in Chase Claypool who no doubt can ball, and I'm a fan of his. But nobody is having a season to brag about. And you allow a reporter to be in the position to go to the head coach to talk about how you think music should be played in practice? I mean, if I were Mike Tomlin, I'd have Claypools running sprints for the entire practice. You got to be kidding me. If you are a member of the Steelers, I need you to understand something. And I'm not talking about Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin has a history and a reputation that absolves him, even though he's accountable for this team because he's the head coach. And obviously, he was the head coach of the team that got smacked around this past weekend in a very embarrassing fashion. The fact of the matter is, Mike Tomlin has been coaching this team for 14 years and has never had a losing season. This season, they're on the verge of that because of this team. I'm looking at the players for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You are a national embarrassment this week. You got your ass kicked. You got embarrassed. You got blown out. You got obliterated, and you got punked. Period. And to sit in a position where you're going to walk around and have a report, we want music in practice. You lucky you allowed in practice. You lucky you allowed to touch a football. You lucky that Mike Tomlin doesn't have y'all running sprints, because you don't get punked like that by anybody, let alone a division rival like the Cincinnati Bengals. You ain't tough. You come across soft. Y'all are inefficient. You got a quarterback that needs to retire and don't want to admit it. You got an offensive line that probably don't even know each other's name. You got a defense that's completely, completely dispirited because they know their offense can't do anything, so they got to do everything. This is not funny. It's not a joke. Y'all are horrible. 5-5-1, walking around once again with one of the worst running attacks in all of football. And that ain't my man from Alabama's fault either. Okay? I know what Najee Harris brings to the table. It ain't him. It's the fact that your offensive line is suspect and you got a stationary quarterback who we all revere, respect, and are looking forward to celebrating as a Hall of Famer in the future, but damn it, didn't want to admit that it was time for him to go. That's y'all. That's the Steelers. There ain't no Steeler Nation. It ain't even a Steel City. It's aluminum. That's what the hell it is right now, Marcus. Aluminum. All right? It ain't even steel. You understand? Hell with it. Aluminum foil. That's how soft y'all are. Anything could punch a hole through y'all right now. And you gonna sit up there and put a reporter in a position to ask Mike Tomlin that question. Claypool, get it together. Juju Smith, get healthy and stay the hell off of TikTok. Ben Roethlisberger, my brother, retire so we can celebrate you like you deserve instead of remembering the residue of what the hell you leaving in front of us right now. Go ahead, Marcus.
I mean, it ain't really much to say after that. Mike Tomlin having to answer that question really is the part that turned me like crazy, because we all know, like, we've been around sports long enough, S.A., when you win, there's freedom in that. There's leverage in that. You can play music when you're having success. You can play music when you're going out and you executing game plans and you able to win games. But this is a very telling season, because I wasn't 100% out on Ben Roethlisberger. I wasn't 100% out on the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I hold, to you and RC's point, I hold this franchise and organization to a particular standard that would not allow me to think that they were making decisions emotionally. And being Roethlisberger coming back and being your starting quarterback was an emotional decision. Based on what we saw at the tail end of last year and what we're seeing this year, it was an emotional decision. Now, I get some of the decision-making process in it because he's a veteran and you think he can operate. Matt Canada was at LSU and couldn't run offense. Now he's in the league and the same thing is happening. They had a couple weeks where they got it going with Najee Harris, and other teams looked at it and said, we're going to stop the run and we'll turn the Steelers back into what they really are. But the fact that Mike Tomlin, who is a Super Bowl championship winning coach, who has all the respect from former players that played with him, is 5-5-1 to what you just said, Stephen A. Got to answer a damn question about music at practice. That's the ultimate disrespect for Mike Tomlin. That's the ultimate disrespect for what we know the Pittsburgh Steelers to be, the persona that they carry. And stuff is falling apart. This is the same team, might I add, that last year said, one of their players said, it's the same old Browns. This is the same team last year that we saw fall off of a cliff from the beginning of the season and came into the offseason and everybody act like nothing was wrong. They didn't need to address anything. And from a defensive standpoint, guess what happens to defenses? And I've been trying to scream this for 2 years.
They become demoralized.
When your offense suck and you out there for 65, 70 plays a game, you are going to get exposed. This is the National Football League. The more opportunities offenses have to go against your defense gets worse. And that's what happens to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's an overhaul time in Pittsburgh. That's what it boils down to.
Can I just wrap by saying this?
6-10-1 in the last 17 games.
No, absolutely. But Stephen A., as bad as your Steelers are, they're still ahead of the Cleveland Browns in the rankings.
Well, that's
that
a whole nother.
Unbelievable, with the talent on that roster, that is egregious.
That's about your quarterback. That's about your quarterback.
Bad. All right, we'll leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Brian Kelly arrived to Swagoo's old stomping grounds yesterday in Baton Rouge. And guess what? He's being introduced today officially as the next head coach of LSU. Coverage all day today on ESPN. And with one more vacancy officially being filled, that leads us nicely into this next segment. Marcus, usually Stephen A. gives us his A-list, but today it is your turn.
Yes.
What are the best coaching jobs in college
football? Hold on before he answers that question.
Okay.
Okay? I want you to know that I decided to give up the A-list so to see what you would do. You understand? And you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear it. I'm glad you asked. You better have good reason for doing it. I'm putting you on the spot. Because you, Mr. Football aficionado, especially with the college football, with your days at SEC football, I want to see for myself.
Just hurry up so I can get to my list.
Yes.
Just hurry up so I can get to my list.
Yeah. I appreciate
you moving the hell out of the way. Now stay out of the way until I get done.
Mind your manners.
Let's go. Let's go number five. Number five for me is the University of Georgia. They have the biggest recruiting budget in the country. They consistently end up in the college football playoff. Right now, Georgia is contending to be the national champions in college football. Yes, it would be bumped up if they already won a national championship. It has evaded them, but they are consistently hovering around there. At number four, my alma mater, Louisiana State University. A coach just left Notre Dame, who is the winningest coach in Notre Dame history to go to Louisiana State University. You know why? Because you can win championships at Louisiana State University. It's been proven. Don't at me. Talk to your mama about it. At number three, I have the Clemson Tigers. Dabo Sweeney is sitting there in the ACC. He's recruited at a high level. I know it's been a bad season, but Clemson has state-of-the-art facilities. They have a really good coach, and they are able to get talent every single year. I expect them to bounce back in a major way. Not to mention, their conference ain't too damn hard to win in college football. They can considerably be the best team and end up in the playoff year in and year out. At number two, I have the Ohio State University. The success, the coach, the way that they've continued to push forward. The college football playoff era started. Guess who won the national championship? Ohio State. Guess who's been back there? Ohio State. Guess who continues to be in the conversation. Yeah, it's weird because Michigan just beat them, but might I add, it took 10 years, y'all. And Michigan is a good football team. That's to take nothing away from them, but the perennial power and the team that consistently gets great players and really good coaches, Ohio State University. And last but not least, y'all know damn well who number one is. It's the Alabama Crimson Tide. Number one recruiting classes that actually produce national championships. They have the greatest coach to ever coach football. Now, I don't know what this job would be when Nick Saban is gone, but he ain't gone yet. So it's the number one job in America. You talk about a budget for a college football team. You talk about notoriety. You talk about visibility throughout the world, not just in this country alone. Alabama is synonymous with college football. Before Nick, it was Bear Bryant. And then you get the second coming of winning national championships in droves as well. And Stephen A., I ain't even got a point to all of these schools that I just listed. How many players go to the NFL draft? We can go ahead and clear the first three rounds for majority of the kids that's going to come from these five places right here. This is my list. If you don't like it, fine. Make your own damn list. But to me, that's the top five college football jobs in America.
Well, I'm going to make my own damn list, but I'm going to give mad love and respect to where you're coming from. Here's why I'm interested, because this is a debate show and I get it. But I'm really interested in talking to you to edify myself. Mm-hmm. I want to give you my thinking about this, Swaggu, and work with me on this, all right? I didn't have Georgia or Alabama on my list. Let me explain why.
Okay.
Part of it is a given. They in the SEC. You know, Alabama's Alabama. Georgia's a little bit different. They probably belong on the list because it's Kirby Smart or whatever, whoever else you want to pick. But
Mark
Alabama,
yep.
I think Alabama is strictly because of Saban. Mm-hmm. Without Saban, I don't know if you look at Alabama as one of the top five jobs. I think that the money that they pour into the program, the level of fervor that comes along with it, it went from Bear Bryant to Saban. Everything in between didn't necessarily measure up, in my estimation. I could be wrong, but I'm just throwing that out there.
I
like,
got you.
So I view it as a top five because of Saban. You see what I'm saying?
They got the most national championships of any
college. I'm not questioning any of that. I'm just talking about you when you say the top five, like meaning, oh my God, the job's available. Wow, I would want that. With Georgia, I'm like, Georgia can make a better argument because Georgia right there, just an hour and 15 minutes from Atlanta,
program,
I get all of that. Here's where Clemson to me, Dabo, I love them. The facilities are immaculate. I've been there, et cetera. So my problem with them is the conference that they're playing in. That's my question mark. Only that.
Yep.
Here's where I would challenge you on. Texas, that's a great fan base right there with big time money, right?
It's too much meddling, bro.
Okay. I don't know that.
It's too much meddling. Go ahead.
Let me remind you,
in the last 10 years,
right,
they own their third or fourth coach.
Okay, no
all
problem.
Right. All right,
Good point. Here's the two that I'm strong on. Notre Dame.
Yep.
Money. National television deal. Independence. Number one. And number two, and number one, bro, I got to say USC. You know what? Here's why I'm saying this to you. They're crazy because there's no football in New York, really, right? You're talking about the second largest market in the United States. You make that program relevant. You have any idea what that does for the sport of college football?
See,
what that does for, I'm just talking about
this
for the
is
fan base
why,
for college football, the television networks. I mean, USC
this is
a big
why,
that's why Luke and Riley
this is
went
why
there.
This is a great conversation because we think differently.
Okay.
In the state of Alabama, why would you go there?
Right.
Alabama football.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ohio State, obviously in the state of Ohio. State. Right. Why would you go there?
Alabama.
Ohio State.
Right.
Clemson is in South Carolina,
right.
SA.
Right.
And they play in the ACC,
right.
Which they out-recruit a lot of SEC
Only
schools.
Only got one counter.
Uh-huh.
Only got one counter. There's a whole bunch of distractions in L.A., right? Right?
Yep. Yep.
And they still say the number one football team is USC.
SA, I have no art. Listen, but
time.
that is how we think of this different. Lincoln Riley gonna bring them back.
No, I
Don't
get it.
Me
I
wrong.
Get it. I get it. You're going straight football. You're going city.
Yeah.
We'll revisit this another time, right. Guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Oh, this is going to be good, Marcus. Big Monday night football game. Bills-Patriots could be a tough test for the Rook. What's at stake for Mac Jones against Buffalo Monday night football?
Can he lead the New England Patriots to a championship when all things are not working well? And I said it last week, Molly QR, is that Mac Jones proved to me last against the Titans that he can throw this team to a victory. Where here it comes again against a divisional opponent who a lot of people have winning this division. Obviously, we looking at the Patriots now as either the best team or right on the same level with the Buffalo Bills. If the Buffalo Bills defense can stop the run or prohibit it, can Mac Jones throw them to a victory against the Buffalo Bills? And if he can, y'all, conversation going to be way different on Tuesday.
Well, what I would say is this. Dan Marino came into the league in 1983 and took it by storm, threw 20 touchdowns his first year, went 7-3 as a starter, before really going 14-2 the next year, second year, and taking them to the Super Bowl. So I remember that. I remember Big Ben Roethlisberger winning the first 10 or 11 games of his career when he came
very
in.
Very similar situation.
Very similar situation. What I would say to you is this. Mac Jones, I got a lot of faith in him, believe in him, loved him coming out of Alabama. I ain't thinking a damn thing about Mac Jones for this Monday Night Football game. My eyes are completely on the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, I got you.
What the hell you going to do? What the hell you going to do, Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all were supposed to be the team. Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills. The Patriots are in first place in a division that was supposed to belong to you the moment Tom Brady walked out the door. And you got a rookie that showed up straight from Tuscaloosa, beating, ahead of y'all? Really? What you going to do, Josh Allen?
If not,
$258 million man.
If not,
what you going to do?
If not for what Justin Herbert did last year, this would be the greatest rookie quarterback performance we've seen
in
a long time.
I got it. All I'm saying to you real quick, Marcus, is this. Keep the same intensity, brother. Don't let Buffalo off the hook. You're supposed to be that team.
You're
supposed to be that team. But Mac Jones just getting started. Buffalo, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, Bills Mafia? What you gonna do? That's the story. That's the story. I don't wanna hear nothing about the Patriots.
No.
It's about the Buffalo Bills.
You know what's the story? Story's your Knicks. Story's your Steelers. Those are the real stories.
Bills Mafia. What's up?
What's up, Buffalo?